gosh, it would be awful pleasing to reason out the reason for things I can't explain. Then perhaps I'll deserve you and be even worthy of you if I only had a brain.
Wonderful Wizard of Oz. We hear he is a whiz of a whiz, if ever a whiz there was. If ever, oh, ever a whiz there was, the Wizard of Oz is one. Because of the wonderful things he does. We're off to see the Wizard, the wonderful Wizard of Oz. Are you ready for today's lesson?
Yes, Peter!
And listen to your teacher. Repeat after me. I won't grow up.
I won't grow up.
I don't want to go to school.
I don't want to go to school.
Just to learn to be a parrot.
Just to learn to be a parrot.
And recite a silly rule.
And recite a silly rule.
If growing up means it would be beneath my dignity to climb a tree,
I'll never grow up, never grow up, never grow up.
Not me.
Not I.
Not me.
Not me.
I won't grow up.
I won't grow up.
I don't want to wear a tie.
I don't want to wear a tie.
And a serious expression.
And a serious expression.
In the middle of July.
In the middle of July.
And if it means I must prepare to shoulder burdens with a worried air,
I'll never grow up, never grow up, never grow up.
Not me.
Not I.
Not me.
So there. Never gonna be a man.
I won't.
Like to see somebody try
and make me.
Anyone who wants to try and make me turn into a man. Catch me if you can. I won't grow up.
I won't grow up.
Not a penny will I pinch.
Not a penny will I pinch.
I will never grow a mustache.
I will never grow a mustache.
Or a fraction of an inch.
Or a fraction of an inch.
'Cause growing up is awful work. Than all the awful things that ever were.
I'll never grow up, never grow up, never grow up.
No, sir.
Not I.
Not me.
So there.
I won't grow up.
I won't grow up.
I will never even try.
I will never even try.
I will do what Peter tells me.
I will do what Peter tells me.
And I'll never ask him why.
And I'll never ask him why.
We won't grow up.
We won't grow up.
We will never grow a day.
We will never grow a day.
And if someone tries to make us.
And if someone tries to make us.
We will simply run away.
We will simply run away.
I won't grow up.
I won't grow up.
No, I promise that I won't.
No, I promise that I won't.
I will stay a boy forever.
I will stay a boy forever.
And be banished if I don't.
And be banished if I don't.
And Neverland will always be the home of youth and joy and liberty. I'll
never grow up, never grow up, never grow up.
Not me.
Not me.
Not me.
Not me.
No, sir.
Hello, this is Ann Hampton Callaway pretending to be Fran Drescher on Anything Goes. Listen to this mensch, Lise Avery. She's got a fabulous show, Anything Goes. And believe me, honey, anything goes with Lise.
And it's, 10:13 in the morning on this Monday, the 29th day of October. And we've got on the line a wondrous lady named Wendy Reed Crisp. She was the editor of Savvy Magazine and the national director of the National Association for Female Executives. She's appeared on lots of TV and radio programs. And most importantly, she's a writer of some note. She's written, among many other things, a book of essays on living in a small town, which which is where she lives right now. She calls it From the Back Pew. She also wrote a book of humor, the best-selling 100 Things I'm Not Going to Do Now That I'm Over 50, and Do As I Say, Not As I Do, and her newest one, When I Grow Up, I Want to Be 60, which is a perfectly fine goal as far as I'm concerned. You can get more information about Wendy and all of her books and When I Grow Up, I Want to Be 60 at iwanttobe60.com, or you can just stay tuned to the radio and say hello to Wendy herself. Good morning, Wendy.
Good morning, Lise.
How are you, girl?
Well, I'm waking up here on the West Coast.
How is it over there on the West Coast?
It's still dark, Lise. I don't know yet.
Oh, get over it. I was up before it was light this morning as well. And you know what? What we have here is freezing. Okay.
Oh, no.
So it was
okay.
Not only
no
dark, but
no
it was
complaints.
Like 35 degrees or something. So now, Wendy, before we move on to When I Grow Up, I Want to Be 60. I want to ask you, you are out there and you have been, you have very close friends who were impacted by the fires out there. Is that so?
More than I expected. We went to San Diego, which is quite a ways from where I live. It's, you know, 18 hours by car. And, for this woman's retirement party, she was she started 211, which is the emergency referral services. It's like 911, only it's for resource and referrals.
Oh, really? Here it's 311, I think, in New York.
This is a 211.
Interesting.
It's a national program. Though,
okay.
And she was started for San Diego County, so her retirement party was a big hoo-ha. We all went down for it, those of us who've been friends for 40 years. One of the wonderful things about being this age is that you can have 40-year friendships. And we all had this incredible weekend at her house. And I had to leave because I'd driven down. I couldn't stay the whole weekend. My friends called on Sunday and said, my God, the canyon's filling with fire. We have to leave because they had, you know, the problems of old age, you know, so... the friends who lived there didn't think they were in any trouble because it's happened so many times before. But the next morning, I got a call and they lost everything. Absolutely everything except a stand, detached garage because the, fires just operate with such incredible, changeability, and they're so precise that they can go right between a house and a garage, and the garage didn't even have a black mark on it.
That is amazing. Well, we've seen footage of people's one neighbor's home is devastated, and the neighbor next door has no damage. So that's what you are talking about.
And I'd like to point out something else that hasn't been discussed very much. As long as we're bringing up the fires.
Okay. Yeah. This is that kind of media. You go for it, Wendy.
Okay. One of the things that hasn't been brought up very much is the fact that there are almost 2 million illegal immigrants that live in the canyons in San Diego County and those other fire-affected areas in Los Angeles County. They live in tents. They live in all sorts of, you know, makeshift kinds of housing. They are recruited in Mexico and brought up to pick a lot of the fresh crops.
Hmm.
In San Diego County, they make $6.53 an hour. And, of course, they're below the radar on people that are, affected by the fire, but the fires rage through those canyons. And the ones that were picking in the fields were not evacuated unless the police finally came and forced the owners to evacuate them. The fresh tomato pickers were not evacuated at all, and there were fires right across the road. The American Friends Service Committee, which is the Quaker, social service organization, it has been working with these people for years, took goggles and water and eye drops and things out to their camps and finally evacuated them and found the safe evacuation places for them.
Wow. Wow. Now, this is the flip side of Wendy's penchant for writing humor, is that she is a very passionate activist. So you can tell that about Wendy, and you can get more information about Wendy's passions at iwanttobe60.com.
And that's a 60. I want to be 60.
Ah, thank you very much, Wendy. I appreciate your mentioning that. Now, tell us, you sent me this long email. I actually have to say, I'm on all of these email lists, and I got an email from Bill Clinton.
You got an email from Bill Clinton?
Well, but not really, you know.
Nearly.
It's like one of those lists. I get them from my buddy Al Gore.
Oh, yeah,
you know,
right.
Those kinds of... So anyway, I remember forwarding one of those to my folks once, and my father said, congratulations. It's like, no, it's a list. Anyway, but so you were actually the person, the email I got from Bill was hoping that I would wish Hillary a happy 60th and, of course, send money to the Democratic National Committee.
Right. So, what a nice way to celebrate.
Happy birthday. Here's a check.
Yeah. So,
but so you have some comment to make based upon your expertise in doing all the research for your book, When I Grow Up, I Want to Be 60,
yes.
Which, of course, everybody can find and purchase at your website, iwanttobe60.com.
She was 60 last Friday,
okay.
as has been somewhat noted. Can you hear that siren?
Cool.
My office is directly under the volunteer fire department siren. So this is now, if I were not on the phone with you, I would be calling my 93-year-old mother and saying, it's not you, is it? I do that every time it goes off.
Dear God.
She says, heaven's sakes, no, go back to work, is what she says. Anyway,
Hillary, is a first for me.
Sorry about the emergency. Hillary was 60 on Friday,
uh-huh.
And I had a lot of suggestions for her because I've been 60 for 3 years.
Oh, well, so you're.
But she and I have a lot. She and I are practically ident twins, except for that. For one thing, I also was raised in a middle class family.
Uh-huh.
I'm a Methodist.
Are you really?
Yes, I know that back on the East Coast, Methodists are kind of like not too well understood, but basically we are what you are when you can be anything you want.
Okay.
And
I'm a Method actor. Does that count?
Yeah, yeah. I think so.
Okay.
I think so. And I'm, you know, and of course, I'm a Democrat. So we have. So what? What could be more? And I also have had a husband that ran around, but I got rid of him because he wasn't president.
Yes.
So I feel like we're just like soul sisters. So I felt I could tell her these kinds of things about 10 tips for her to be being over 60, especially if she's elected president.
Ah, okay. So these are from Wendy Reed Crisp. So these are tips for Hillary as she enters her 61st year.
Yes, and especially at her position of prominence.
Yes, okay.
Some of these, obviously, these don't apply to just any of us.
Okay.
I'm telling her for sure, if she gets elected president, to be sure and throw out the first ball of the Major League Baseball season.
Okay.
Even if she throws like a girl.
Which you probably, I mean, certainly I would. I know, and I'll bet she does too.
I can throw overhand, but I can't make home plate.
No.
And I think this is an advantage because it puts steroid issues to rest.
Thank you. There you go.
Another thing, and this applies to all women over 60, do not ever wear a corsage. Refuse to wear a corsage. If people, you know, well-meaning people bring you one, explain that you're allergic. Never. It. You look embalmed.
Doesn't that apply to anybody over 13, Wendy Reed Crisp?
There's a prom thing there that everybody has to go through. You have to do the prom corsage thing.
Okay.
That's the only time you should ever be wearing plastic ribbons next to your face.
Okay. All right, Hillary, no corsages. What else
no
you got?
And she'll be offered them at every single place she goes, right? I mean, that's the one thing. The committee will show up with
an
orchid in the box.
They still make them, huh?
I know, yes. Now they're very eleganto. They're not dyed blue carnations to match your shoes anymore.
Okay.
My era, we had everything dyed to match, which we still do, you know, but it's our hair now. And then I suggest that she get a dog. I think a woman is with a dog in public, like the Queen Elizabeth has done this extremely well with her corgis. So, of course, Hillary couldn't get a corgi. But you can make a tremendous personality statement with a dog. Have you noticed that?
Yes, you absolutely can. Socks the cat. Oh, now, I am a cat person, but it doesn't make the same kind of statement as choosing a breed of dog.
For one thing, you cannot travel with a cat.
No. Oh, for sure you can't.
You can't do a press conference with a cat at your feet.
No, you can't. Well, so what's your recommended breed?
This is a dog you publicly, you know, show up with. I'm recommending a Border Collie mix from the pound. I think she could make a great statement there on many fronts. One, go to the pound and get an adult dog.
Ah, absolutely.
Never, ever, ever have a thoroughbred dog if you're going to try and make any kind of a political or social awareness statement.
Okay, fair enough.
And a Border Collie is a working dog. And they'll round up anything that happens, you know, they'll work for you, like, you know, they'll run around and round up things for you. voters at the last minute, even, perhaps.
Oh, there you go. That would work for me. Absolutely. So, and you also suggest that Hillary avoids plastic rain scarves.
Oh. Do people wear those even anymore?
I do not know. I didn't think people wore corsages anymore. So you've got me, at a disadvantage, Wendy Reed Crisp.
Fly into Sioux Falls, and the committee will meet you with an orchid in the box at the plane.
Okay. Those plastic, they used to fold up, right, and come in a little packet?
Yeah, but you know something? I think I've dated myself by even including that in the list. I haven't seen a woman in one of those accordion-pleated plastic rain hats for years, now that I think about it.
Yeah, I don't know, you know, I'm certainly not in Manhattan. That's all I can tell you, you know.
Yeah, but not even out here. Well, you know, okay. Not even in Lolita, which is, you know, a suburb of Ferndale.
We're
going
to put a call out to the Anything Goes listeners if they have parents or
have
aunts or something. Let us know.
Yes, we
need to know if those plastic disposable rain things are still being worn over the, what are those, beehive hairdos.
Well, they're still beehive hairdos. We still have women here that I see all the time, women, in fact, that are even friends of mine, who get their hair done every week in one of those don't touch me hairdos, and then go to bed with toilet paper wrapped around their hair. People still do that.
Ooh, sexy.
Yeah, very.
Give us a couple more tips for Hillary Clinton as she enters her 61st year, Wendy, from a woman who's experienced already her 61st, 62nd, and you're in your 63rd year, is that right?
I am.
And I'll tell you, you've got the best website of many people I know. I want to be 60.com, where you guys can log on and check out Wendy's books.
And then go to the blog, which is called From the Back Pew, which is linked right there on the website. And, you know, that's where I really get to let loose there. Here's one of my tips.
Yes. One more tip. Another tip for Hillary.
Keep a diary, but lie. Now, Anais Nin did this.
It's true.
Yes. I mean, you know, people are worried about how they're going to be viewed by history, and then people read their diaries, they say, oh, my heavens, you know, President so-and-so, we had no idea he was in such angst over the war in the Philippines that he, you know, even refused to eat red beans and rice during the whole time. I think what you do is she keeps a diary and she writes how she wants to be viewed by history as if she were writing, you know, the truth.
Good. Keep a fictional diary. That actually
exactly.
is good advice for all of us, as a matter of fact.
It's wonderful advice.
That's because somebody will probably get their mitts on it.
Your best self will survive you, and you won't be, like, my mother has kept a diary since she was 12. She's now, as I said,
93?
She's going to be 94 in January. She still drives. Don't even ask about that.
Does she still have all of those diaries?
Yes, and I have them all except the last couple of years, which she won't give me yet.
Oh, how
she
extraordinary.
Gave them to me.
What a legacy.
Yes, but listen to the legacy. Hung 40 sausages in the smokehouse last night. That's the legacy.
Oh,
I mean,
that's very funny. That's very funny. Where did your mom hang sausages, Wendy?
We had a smokehouse in the, you know, on the side of her house. She had
which was where? Because you're out in rural California.
I'm 5 hours north of San Francisco in Humboldt County, which is, of course, extremely well known for its marijuana crop. and if I did that, I wouldn't be writing books for a living. And I live in a small farm town called Ferndale, which is a Victorian village, which is, very touristy, but also surrounded by dairy farms and our own undocumented workers and our own. We have a lot of tiny little social problems packed into this 2,000 person valley, and we're cut off from the rest of the world by this very old concrete bridge. So it's a very unusual place to live, and I was born here, grew up here, went away to college, worked in LA and New York for almost 40 years, inherited the farm, and moved back.
Yeah, and yeah, well, I remember speaking with you and your husband last week, and he was just letting, what, the sheep out and the cattle?
Yes, he was letting the sheep, yes, we have to move them in and out of a field, but we're having coyote problems. I have to tell you that we're having coyote problems.
Well,
and we're doing unrecommended things to protect
I don't want to hear about that.
Oh, okay.
No, I don't. All right, we need one more tip for Hillary, because we know she's not going to be able to get through the day without one more tip from Wendy Reed Crisp about how to grow up and be 60.
My most serious one, but this is specifically for her.
Uh-huh.
Don't try to connect with us on an I know what it's like basis. We don't want our president to be just like us. I don't want her to pretend to know anything that I know, like how to price artificial flowers for a yard sale.
Or smoke sausages.
Or smoke sausages, exactly. And I don't want her to expect me to know how to deal with whether or not Iran has nuclear weapons. And so I don't want her to pretend to feel my pain.
Well, I think that's a very, very good tip, and something that Hillary has probably learned over the years, as a matter of fact, is how to figure out how to negotiate being a female political presence. So, Wendy, tell us a little bit about the other books that you have available, which, of course, are all available for sale at When I Grow Up, I Want to Be 60.com, because you have that one, which, of course, is appropriate for a woman of any age, or perhaps even a man, but you have other books as well, which were very, very well received.
Yes, the 100 Things I'm Not Going to Do Now That I'm Over 50, which is much... The 60 book, frankly, is a book for grown-ups. It's not... it is humor, but it's also really celebrates the diversity of the lives that we've had, women of this age, because we've been through the no waxy yellow build-up black and white TV ads. That was the beginning of our life, listening to that stuff, and then we went into civil rights marches and assassinations and women's rights and flower children and war protests and the career era, which was when I was at Savvy and Network. And look at the things like networking and consciousness raising and sensitivity training. We've done all this. We've had this amazingly rich and varied and strange life, although we are not monolithic by any means. We've all made many choices and had a lot of things happen to us that certainly weren't choices. And my book really celebrates that diversity. I'm very proud of it because it has the voices of many women in it, and none of them are famous, but they're tremendously diverse and honest. And I think it's a wonderful book for a woman in her 60s to have and read, because everything that we have thought in our past or have worried about it or are flitting through our lives now is affirmed here. Yes, we've had kids who were in trouble. Yes, we haven't all had successful marriages or careers. We haven't, it's a book that really, I come out strong and happy, and it's a real grown-up book. I like this age. Because unlike Mary Martin's song that preceded me, I Never Want to Grow Up, actually she was talking about a man, about a boy, Peter Pan.
Yes.
And the
she
only
was
thing
actually
I,
playing a boy,
well,
Peter
the only
Pan.
Thing, yeah, the only thing I have in common with those lyrics, by the way, is not a penny will I pinch, which is why I'm still working at 63, because I never put anything aside. But I think that the book, I like the 60 book better than the 50 book, but the 50 book has been a huge bestseller.
Well, the 60 book, the When I Grow Up, I Want to Be 60, is the voices of many women sharing their perspective about turning 60 and beyond, if I'm, correct me if I'm wrong. And then, of course, the 100 Things I Am Not Going to Do Now That I'm Over 50 is pure Wendy Reed Crisp.
That's right.
Right?
And the reason that I didn't do the same kind of thing when Putnam asked me to do the 60 book, because that's my publisher, I didn't repeat I didn't do it all with my own voice, is because, frankly, I just got sick of the sound of my own voice. And I thought, you know, one thing that's very true about women over 60, they really don't want anybody else telling them what life is like. You know, we know. We'd like to hear other friends and women's experiences, but only out of, sharing and camaraderie. We don't want someone telling us what to do.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's a fun read. I have shared When I Grow Up, I Want to Be 60 with a number of women, and they have enjoyed it. And, of course, 100 Things I'm Not Going to Do Now That I'm Over 50, you guys, is absolutely hysterical, especially if you are 49. And you're looking
around
going,
exactly.
I can't believe I'm still doing this.
Exactly.
Oh.
The other one that I like, it was called Do As I Say, Not As I Did. That was also a Putnam book, and it was just a dismally unsuccessful book. However, it happens to be probably really full of some of the best stuff I've ever written in terms of advice to young people. And they're very, very short little bits, but it's really good advice. And it's stuff that people told me when I was 20 that made a huge difference in my life.
Oh, nice.
And
okay.
But it wasn't the book, so you know, people have to order that from me because it's I've been out of print and, you know, the copies they'll get are like library rejects and all that. Oh, the other thing is anybody that buys a book off my site can email me, which the email address, the contact Wendy is on the website there.
And
I will sign them. I will sign them for presents.
Oh,
because
there you
basically
go.
These are
That's
the kind
lovely.
Of things you give as presents to people.
Yeah.
And I will sign them if they want to buy one and email
very
me a note
nice.
Saying, you know, put dear Adele, these were the, you know, those were the days, you know.
Very, very cool, Wendy. That's that's a great idea. And they're really fun books for people that are somebody
hardback.
On your list that are hard to buy for. And they make excellent.
They're also hardback books, Lise, which means that they look like a good present.
They are a good present, and they make really good coffee table or next to your favorite chair reading. Well, thank you so much, Wendy. Thank you for your time out in the early morning of California, where I guess people the sun must be starting to come up because
well,
it's about 7:30.
Well, the volunteer firemen
right?
have made sure everyone's up.
Well,
it's always so much fun to be on your show. I love it.
Oh, you're very kind. And if you want more information about Wendy and your driving and you were not able to write down her website, which is When I Grow Up, I Want to Be 60, and you need the number 60 there, you can get linked, of course, at my website at anythinggoesradio.com. There's a big picture of Wendy's book right on the homepage, and you'll find a link to Wendy right in my book bag. Be well, my friend. I'll talk to you very, very soon. And thanks for spending
please.
Some time with us here on Anything Goes.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye. And right now, let's have a little bit more from The Wizard of Oz. 10:35 is the time.
Come out, wherever you are, and meet the young lady who fell from a star. She fell from the sky, she fell very far, and Kansas, she says, is the name of the star.
Kansas, she says, is the name of the star.
She brings you good news, or haven't you heard, when she fell out of Kansas, a miracle occurred.
It really was no miracle. What happened was just this. The wind began to switch, the house to pitch, and suddenly the hinges started to unhitch. Just then, the witch, to satisfy an itch, went flying on her broomstick, thumbing for a hitch.
And oh, what happened then was rich.
The house began to pitch, and the kitchen took a stitch. It landed on the wicked witch in a minute.